The 100 Years' War, The French Flanders Troubles, Part 2, and Edward III's Finances in 1347. Now, the western frontier of Flanders had become vital to both the French and the English. The fall of an important town like Saint-Omer would have been a humiliating blow to Philip VI. Moreover, at a time when he was trying to persuade the northern provinces of his realm to help him with money and men, it was unthinkable to allow long-distance raiders to roam freely across the borders. Philip VI's motives were not entirely defensive. It became clear to him, as it was already to Edward III, that the southwest corner of Flanders was one of the keys to relieving the besieged city of Calais, and the French army would have to penetrate that marshland controlled by the English to save Calais and occupy the roads north of Calais to keep out English supplies. The dependence of Edward III on those roads only increased as his army was reinforced from England in the course of the summer of 1347. Keeping the roads open was a considerable strategic success, and it's almost entirely due to the Flemish. It was achieved at great cost, for they were generally outfought by more experienced troops who were better equipped and better led. The Flemish, in spite of heavy casualties, prevailed by sheer numbers and persistence. In the absence of Louis de Mal, the Flemish were commanded by Ordart de Renty, a French renegade, the bastard of a distinguished French family from Western Artois, who had been banished from France for committing some crimes. Reliable estimates of the Flemish forces are really kind of hard to come about, but by March of 1347, there were 5,000 men from Bruges all by itself, so there were surely at least 15,000 from the three cities. Now, French forces in the region consisted of major garrisons at Aire, Saint-Omer, Bethune, Lille, Tournai, and minor ones at less important places. In early April 1347, they were heavily reinforced, and a mobile border force of several hundred mounted troops was created around the Aire and Saint-Omer region. This was achieved partly by simply stripping troops from the huge garrison at Boulogne and from other French garrisons further south, and partly by simply drawing off the men of his field army, which was slowly assembling at Amiens and Arras. The whole of the western march of Flanders was commanded by Charles of Spain, who would become the future constable of France. But at this point, he's at age 21. This is his first major command, but he is probably the finest martial member of his family. The campaign began in mid-April 1347 with a concerted attack on Saint-Omer by detachments from the English and French armies. I should say the English and Flemish armies. Well, it didn't go well. You know, the biggest problem has always been coordination. The two forces simply mistimed their arrival, and so they were defeated separately. At the end of April, the French then took to the attack. The first target was Cassel, a crossroad town, but the French force was too small for the job, so Charles of Spain withdrew to Saint-Omer. Then a bolder effort was made by the French. The object was to break a dam across the Ah River at Wavatin, thereby flooding the flats of Bourbon, or I should say Bourgeon, between Wavatin and Gravelines. That would cut the vital supply road, and it almost worked. What happened, though, is the French approached without warning, cavalry coming through the forest of Ham, the infantry arriving by boats from Saint-Omer. They quickly captured the dam, and the laborers that they brought with them began to cut it. But the commander, Moreau de Finesse, was so concerned about a counterattack that he ordered a retreat before the work was completed. So apart from looting the nearby St. Benedictine Abbey, the operation was a wasted effort. The Flemish regrouped in May and shifted operations further east, attempting a series of hit-and-run raids in eastern Artois in the French provinces of Walloon Flanders. They all failed, and the Flemish commander, Ordart de Renty, changed sides a few days later, negotiated a pardon for his French crimes, and began a long career as a captain in the French army. Well, so things haven't gone very well for the Flemish, but Edward's doing very well back at home. Just as that defeat of Philip VI caused his resources to dry up, both money, men, the victory enabled Edward III to mine fresh seams of his subjects' wealth, Edward's representatives called the principal lay and ecclesiastical peers, who were still in England, to Westminster on the 3rd of March, 1347. They told them very plainly that the king needed a great deal of money, and at once. Unless he received it, they said, everything that had been spent since the beginning of the previous year would be wasted. Faced once more with the specter of Tournai, the peers agreed to authorize a forced loan of 20,000 sacks of wool to be assessed against every man in the kingdom except the poorest layman. These were the preliminaries for further monopolistic schemes after the model of 1337. A syndicate of merchants formed by the government's principal bankers undertook the disposal of the wool, paying the ready cash and receiving in return a monopoly of the right to export. The council then sat with the representatives of the seamen to consider the immense resources of shipping that would be required in order to ferry men and horses and equipment and stores across the channel. In addition to the transports, which would be requisitioned in the standard manner, it was proposed to raise a fighting fleet of 120 ships of 150 tons or more each. Each would then be a heavy supplementary duty of doubtful legality, and that would all be levied on exports. That's where the money to fix the ships, make the ships came from. The proceeds of these taxes were anticipated almost at once by a great program of borrowing. The whole of the wool loan was sold to Walter Citron's syndicate for £66,666, which represented a fairly substantial discount on its full price and was payable in installments over a period of months. A variety of other lenders was also found. The great crown once again is mortgaged, this time for £20,000 to a syndicate organized by the London vintner Henry Picard. This great influx of money indeed satisfied Edward III's needs, at least for a short time. But a short time was all he needed to finish his siege of Calais. So that's exactly what he was looking for. At any rate, the sources for this, same ones that I've been using, the 100 Years' War by Pirois, the 100 Years' War by Nylands, the 100 Years' War, Volume 1, Trial by Battle by Sumption. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.